Well, good morning and the Lord's blessing to each of you. Now, there are only some in the congregation who would know this. Most of you would not. But this is a special day for me. It's a special day for me because 40 years ago today, I preached the first message in the old church. It was a call to preach to see whether or not I was good enough to be their pastor. And so 40 years ago, except it was on the 30th, not on the 29th, but it was the last Sunday in January. So praise be to God. I can hardly believe it's been 40 years. Could I dare say of great glory? 40 years of happiness, 40 years of doing the Lord's work in this community. So for this, I praise God. Well, now, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we began a two-part series, a two-part message on the resurrection of believers. Resurrection of believers. Now, I'm going to get into that in just a moment. But Bruce, I have a question for you. Is there a committee meeting to be held afterward? So Property and Building Committee, if you would meet following the service at the organ, if you do that, please. All right, back to the series, two-week series, on the resurrection of believers. Now, we need to set the platform, first of all, and say that when we as believers die, this is if the rapture hasn't occurred, when we die, our body goes to the ground or to the sea or off in the mist or wherever it happens to be, dust returning to dust. But our soul, our spirit, our mind, and our personality go on to be with the Lord. Those who are not believers, they do not go on to be with the Lord, and that's a story for another time. However, in terms of believers, we go on, I believe, escorted by angels to go from where we are, the very last breath that we take. Angels escort us, and we go to be with the Lord and with him forever and ever. And while we were there, he gives us some sort of a temporary spiritual body. Later on, our bodies will be reunited with this temporary body, but we'll have more to say about that in a moment or two. Now, the last time we preached on this, it was as a result of questions that people have asked. And in fact, many people, Christians, mature Christians, have asked this question, what about the resurrection of believers? What happens and what is it can I expect? Also, messages in the future for the next number of weeks or months will also be based on questions that people have asked. Previously, we discovered this about our new bodies, our new resurrected bodies, that they will be indestructible and identifiable. Indestructible in that nothing is going to be able to happen to them, disease or anything, not even going to be melted in the hot, in the great heat, nothing. They're going to be absolutely indestructible. Also, they will be identifiable. That means that we will recognize one another when we get there in glory. The bodies will be different. It'll be a spiritual body of some nature. Before the resurrection, when the resurrection occurs, the spiritual body and the old body is united. We have a brand new body, and that new body is indestructible, indefinable. And this morning, the Lord willing, we are going to look at our bodies will be incredible, and they will be infinite. Incredible and infinite. Let's turn to the scripture, the word of God, as we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, I'm going to read the first two verses. Actually, the slide will only have the first two. I'm going to read the third one as well. I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3, and then skip over to verse number 35. So let us hear the word of God. Now, brothers, believers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Now, I'm going to read this verse as well. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Now hear this, because this is the gospel message. That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. That is the gospel message. That is what we need to believe. Now over to verse number 35. But some may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant a body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and star differs from star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, that would be Jesus, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man, Adam, was of the dust of the earth. The second man, Jesus, from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, you'll notice in that passage of Scripture that there were a number of comparisons. And whenever you see the word sown, it means buried. And when buried, then it comes to life. Our bodies will be indestructible, identifiable, and incredible. We read in this passage of Scripture that it, the body, is sown in weakness and it is raised in power. Now think about that for a moment. A dead body has no strength whatsoever. A dead body cannot even lift a finger. There's nothing that a dead body can do. It's what other people do to the dead body. The dead body can do absolutely nothing. Remember, the soul, the spirit, the mind, and personality have already left the body. However, when that resurrection day comes, and we are in the grave or wherever we are, then all of a sudden, just like that, we are going to come to life, and it's going to be like a charge of electricity going through us, and believe me, we will be more alive than we ever have been before. Now, the older we get, speaking personally, this may not apply to you, but the older we get, our energy level seems to deplete a little bit, and it just goes downhill. Now, I noticed that on snowy mornings when we're out shoveling snow. I noticed it earlier in the week and noticed it again this morning. The energy level just isn't what it used to be. I also find that high humidity never bothered me. But in the latter number of years, I won't say how many, maybe two or three, but the latter number of years, I find that high humidity just sort of drains me more quickly than it ever did before. Now that is the bad news, because I'm talking about the body in which our real us are housed at the moment. However, the good news is that our resurrection bodies, our new body, will never become tired. They'll be absolutely incredible and full of energy, and perhaps even capable of extraordinary accomplishments and functions. Now, Jesus is our divine model, and we know that Jesus had a different body after his burial and resurrection than what he had before his burial. We know that when the disciples were all gathered together in a room with the windows and doors shut, well, let me read what the scripture says in John 20. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." That's our blessed Savior. He never wants us to be upset or afraid or nervous. He simply said to the disciples, because they were nervous. They didn't know what was going on. Jesus all of a sudden appeared in a room in which the doors had been locked. And he appeared and he says, "Peace, be still." He wants peace for you and he wants peace for me. This is our compassionate, loving Lord Jesus. But the point of referring to this is that Jesus all of a sudden appeared and then he disappeared. Now, since our bodies, our resurrected bodies, are going to be like the resurrected body of Jesus, I've often wondered if that is what we are going to be able to do, just all of a sudden go from one point to the other. It would be wonderful. I don't know what kind of limitations our resurrected body is going to have, but it's not going to have the same kind of limitations that we have today. Now, there's another story that we find in the book of Acts. Do you remember Philip the evangelist was preaching to the Ethiopian official from the government of Ethiopia, and Philip was preaching to him and taught him the scripture as the Ethiopian was reading from God's word, and Philip opened the Ethiopian's eyes, and that man became baptized. Praise be to God. Put all of his trust and faith in Jesus. But then in the scripture we read that immediately Philip was found. Now that was in Gaza. That's where the baptism took place. But then we read that Philip was immediately transported to a place called Azotus, and it was some 38 kilometers away. It was immediately. God wanted him from there to there, and he simply transported him. And I wonder if that's true for you and for me. Now, Philip's body was not a resurrected body. Our Savior's body was. It shows us that God can do anything at any time, but do you suppose our resurrected body will be able to do that? I haven't done a lot of traveling, but I've done some international traveling. And invariably, when I get to a seat on the airplane, all except twice, I never have enough leg room. And just when I think I have enough leg room, the fellow in the seat in front of me pushes the seat back, and that jams me against the back of my seat. I said except twice, because twice I managed to get an exit seat, and that gave me more leg room, and that was absolutely wonderful. In fact, I thought I died and gone to heaven. It was so great. But when you get off the airplane, not only did I not have enough leg room, but of course you have to go through security and have to go through reclaiming your baggage and all that sort of thing. Well, I began to think about this instant transportation going from one place to the other like Jesus was able to do. And if we were able to do that, just imagine, I wouldn't have to worry about leg room, I wouldn't have to worry about security or about claiming my baggage. It would be absolutely marvelous. We don't know that that's what it's going to be like, but there's every indication that it just might be. Our new bodies will be incredible, they'll be identifiable, they will be indestructible, and they will be infinite. Now, what do I mean by the word infinite? Infinite means that our bodies will be unbounded, unlimited, that is, without limit, without end, boundless. Rather hard to imagine, but it is true. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, it says this: "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body." So you and I are existing now in a natural body. Then is the time coming when we are going to exist in a spiritual body. Now remember, you see the word body. There are some people who think that spiritual body means that we're going to float around like some sort of a contrived ghost. That's not what Scripture says. There's a physical body, that's what we now have, and then there will be a spiritual body. Presently, our physical body is influenced by human nature. It's influenced by our humanity, our makeup. And if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we are influenced by the indwelling Holy Spirit. But think about it. Our spiritual body, we will not be influenced by any outside source at all. We will be influenced only by God's living Holy Spirit within us, doing exactly what it is the Lord wants us to do. We will only be influenced by the Lord's Spirit. Spiritual body does not refer to some sort of ghosty kind of thing. As I mentioned a moment ago, it is an actual body. When Jesus was here on earth during his 33 years of ministry, he had a physical body, as did every other human. Then, with his resurrected body, as we've already determined, it was fully recognizable, fully identifiable. Everybody who saw him knew who he was, and he knew who they were. And his own body, now he said this was his own words, he said to his disciples, come and touch. A spirit does not have flesh and bones. My body does. Come and touch me. See. And so that's a clue for you and for me. We don't know all that's going to be. It's going to be like when we get to heaven. We'll talk more about that at a later time. But in terms of our bodies and what happens to us, we don't know everything. But the scripture gives us light into the future, and we see there are a number of things that apply to us. And so this is one of the things. We'll have flesh and bones. We'll have some sort of a temporal body between now and the resurrection after we die. And then when the resurrection occurs, then we'll have that new absolute body. I'm impressed by the fact that when we get to glory, we will no longer be influenced by temptation or defeat or sin or the downward pull of the immoral attractions that are around about us today. No more Satan to pull us in his direction. We'll be free of all of that because we will be in the presence of God Almighty, in the presence of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I can hardly imagine it. I try to imagine it, but it's absolutely incredible when we think about it. I can hardly understand what it'll be like to be in an environment where sin does not affect us in any way, where sin does not infect us in any way. Imagine being in that kind of environment. Now, Paul said these words about heaven. He said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Question, do you love the Lord this morning? You know he loves you. And when you love him, what does Paul say? No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We do get glimpses as to what God has prepared for us. Do we get the full picture? No, but the glimpses are enticing. The glimpses are the things that lead us to believe that all of this is true and all of it is going to happen. You know what it said here? No mind has conceived. There are great minds on this earth today. I see the evidence of these great minds in some of the science fiction that we see on television or in the theater or written about. And I think how these minds work and how they project all kinds of things that just might happen. The mind has conceived that. But no mind has been able to conceive what God has in store for everyone who's placed their trust in him. Now, here's the truth of the matter. We're either going to die physically and immediately be escorted by angels into God's glory, or if the rapture occurs, we're going to be taken up and was known as the rapture, along with millions of others, and meet Jesus in the clouds on our way to heaven. One of two ways, you and I are going to leave this earth. Through physical death, our body will go on the ground, our soul and spirit goes on. Or by the rapture. And at that instantaneous moment, when that rapture occurs, we'll be going up to be with him. However, let's read a passage of scripture that we find in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Let us hear the word of God. Brothers, that means believers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. That's the New Scriptures, the New Testament's word for dying. About those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We have hope. We have hope, well-founded, well-grounded hope in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. Not what we can do, but what he has done and going to do on our behalf. Verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Fallen asleep, those have died. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. You'll notice that last sentence, encourage each other with these words. These are the words that we are in God's care. God is looking after every believer. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the church of Christ. Jesus is going to come back for his church and take his church, all of it, ages past, present, and future, until the rapture comes, to be with him forever and forever and forever. Praise be to God. Now, if we go to heaven because of the rapture, our earthly bodies will be instantaneously transformed into our new and highly improved body, made to last for eternity, called a resurrection body. We will get to heaven without going through the process of physical death. But now, in verse 16 of that passage that we read, it says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God." So what do we see? There seems to be three stages, all happening almost instantaneously. There is a command. There is a voice. There's the trumpet. It's almost like a chain of command. God gives the command. The archangel speaks. A trumpeter blows God's trumpet. And immediately, Jesus leaves the throne room of heaven and comes to earth. Not all the way. Comes to earth to the clouds, and we come up to meet him. You'll note that the scripture says the dead in Christ will rise first. It does not say the dead will rise first. It says the dead in Christ will rise first. All of us who have put our trust in Jesus as Savior, when that trumpet call sounds, we will hear it, and we will be called up. If we are alive where we are now, we will hear it and we will instantaneously go to meet him, and our bodies will be transformed into this new resurrection body. The dead in Christ, those who are buried, they will hear the trumpet, they will come up out of their grave, be reunited with their temporary body, with an eternal body, and then we, as I said a moment ago, we will, when that trumpet sounds, will be transformed and we'll have our new body then. God tells us that we, from that precise moment on, will be with him forever and forever and forever. I often think about that. And I think about Jesus is going to be back on earth for a period of time. We're going to be in a new heaven, a new Jerusalem, a new earth. We're going to be with him. I don't know what Jesus has in mind beyond all that. The scripture does give us an indication about the church age in which we are now in. The scripture gives an indication of what's going to happen at the rapture. And then is the tribulation period, and those who are not in Christ had better brace themselves for a horrific experience for 7 years. Then after that 7 years is the 1,000-year reign of Jesus here on earth, and we'll be with him. And then there's everything new. And we will still be with Jesus then. Who knows what Jesus has in store for us beyond the 1,000-year reign? We have a hope that no one else on earth has, because we listen to, we apply the Word of God to us. We perhaps live in the most exciting age of all time. There are signs all around us about the soon rapture. I think it's going to come in our lifetime. At the moment of God's command, we'll be given a new body. Hear these words again. Our new body, not like the present one, but our new body will be indestructible, identifiable, incredible, and infinite. Praise be to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But I have one little item I'd like to share with you. And that is, there was a man by the name of Jack Welch, W-E-L-C-H. And he led the big organization, General Electric, through some very difficult and highly successful times. And he wrote a book, and the book was entitled Winners, indicating if you followed all that he had in the book, you would end up being a winner. He was indeed a winner for General Electric, and it prospered under his leadership. This book was made up of questions and answers. A question would be asked, and he would provide an answer. One person asked him this question. They said, "Do you think you will go to heaven when you die?" Now listen carefully to his answer. He said this, "So far as heaven, who knows? I'm sure not perfect, but if there are any points given for caring for people with every fiber of your being and giving life all you've got every day, then I suppose I have a shot." Now, this Jack Welch was successful. He was brilliant. He was influential. His book was a bestseller. But on this subject, he was wrong. He did not have the right answer. The only assurance that you and I have of going to be with Jesus forever and ever in a place called heaven is when we put all of our trust in him, who he is and what he's done, that we believe he lived, he died, he was buried, he rose again, he conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and for me, and he did it for us. And when we put our trust in him, his righteousness is transferred to us because he took all of our sin. We can't earn our way. We don't deserve it. If we got what we deserve, we'd end up in hell. But by the grace of God, we don't get what we deserve. We get what Jesus has paid for us. And so my prayer is that all who are here today have put their complete trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. Because remember this, without him, we can do nothing. Father, we praise you and we thank you for your word and we thank you for the glimpses that you give to us, not only of heaven, but also of what happens to us when we die. We praise you, Lord, and know that we will be in your presence. But if there's anyone here today who has never given their life to you, Lord Jesus, we pray that they will do so this hour, this moment. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.